So if you're new to the Episcopal Church, I imagine that opening hymn, well, you can let me know, might have seemed a bit ponderous and old. If you've been in the church for decades, you may find it a familiar friend. If you grew up in the church, born into the church like I was, and then hearing it sung and singing it at numerous ordinations, including my own 40 years ago, it makes me cry. It's a trip through a thousand memories, not least through the memory of the story of Christ. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. I bind this day to me forever the power of faith, Christ's incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his death on cross for my salvation, his bursting from the spiced tomb, his riding up the heavenly way, his coming at the day of doom. I bind unto myself today. Of course, what we celebrate today is not our ability to bind ourselves to triune God, because we don't have that ability. What we celebrate every day is that in Christ, triune God binds God's self to us through the power of the Spirit. We can then say yes, yes to those enfolding arms of triune God. That's what we celebrate. You know, some people, I mentioned this many times, I'm sure, have the idea that the gospel's only purpose, and if you grew up in the South, you heard this a lot, the gospel's only purpose is to tell an individual how to get into heaven when he or she dies. And whenever the Gospel of John uses the word, the phrase eternal life, they think they only mean living forever. You die, you go to heaven, you live forever. That's eternal life. Instead of what it really means, talking about a heavenly type of life here and now. And therefore, when we only see it as what's going to happen to me when I die, the gospel becomes an evacuation system for leaving this world. And this kind of thinking does a couple negative things. First of all, it pulls us out of the present moment. You know, the present moment, that place all our life is lived, although our minds like to think, oh, no, I'm in the past, or she's in the future. No, we live right here, and this is where we are called to be. So always thinking of the future robs us of the gift of the present. But it also turns the gospel into a project of the ego, which feeds our natural narcissism and thus destroys any chance for community and love. I mean, if Bill's primary goal in life is to get Bill into heaven, good luck to you, right? Good luck. Okay, I might help you a little, and if I have to do something according to the law to get the door to open, okay, I'll do that. It doesn't build community. It doesn't build love. It doesn't bring God's kingdom here. It doesn't reflect the ministry of Christ. While the phrase of eternal life does indeed include living in the presence of God after our heart and brain shut down, its main meaning points us to this life we are living now. The Jews believed that there was a present age, and then there was the age to come. You can see this in the Old Testament. And so the early church believed the same thing. There was the present age, and there was the age to come, which had already begun now in this present age through the death and resurrection of Christ. So the fullness of it's to come, but it has already started here and now. Eternal life is in this place here and now, at least as a beginning. And for those who the Spirit has awakened to that reality, that Jesus embodies the one true God. So let's think about Nicodemus this morning. His name, by the way, means victory of the people, Nike. You know that? Anybody got any Nike shoes? That means victory. Nicodemus recognizes that Jesus is from God and does his signs of healing through the presence of God, but he's not yet come to faith in Christ. So the Spirit lures him into investigating it further, which the Spirit is always luring each of us to take that next step And there's never any end to those steps and the process of coming to understand the love of God. And so he goes to Jesus and says, you know, tell me more. And Jesus cuts to the quick, very truly I tell you, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't step into eternal life without being born from above. This again is one of those phrases in the South that would divide churches. Did y'all have the born again movement here? Bumper stickers, I've been born again, and then, you know, Episcopalian said, I've been born again and again and again, or I've been born once and that was enough. That's a transforming experience. And it's startling for Nicodemus, but it's also startling for us mainline church people, especially Episcopalians who have been birthed from our mother church, the Church of England. Because the Church of England believed in the power of education, right? Let's found in the Middle Ages Oxford and Cambridge universities so we can educate the people, educate the clergy, and they can educate the people and realize that ignorance is a profoundly negative thing. I'm the product of that education, and I thank daily the women and men who labored hard to educate me. And I believe one significant issue in the church today is the idea, you've heard it, you may have said it, that once you've gone through confirmation, there's nothing more to learn about the nature of God or the meaning and purpose of our lives. So I believe education is a living, ongoing, lifetime project. But, here's the but, based on what Jesus said to Nicodemus, education by itself is not enough. That's bad news for someone like me. We just moved into our new house. In order to sell our old house, we had to stage it, which meant we had to get rid of all my books, my three large, enormous bookcases. How am I going to live without them? It was great living without them. It just freed up all this space. It just made it simple and clean. Maybe I am more than my education. And Jesus is saying there's something that must come before education or come along with education or come through education. Something he calls being born from above or born again. Anathem in Greek means both things. Nicodemus is shocked. Jesus is saying there's something drastic that happens to us. It's like a new birth. Education by itself won't get us there. Nicodemus will participate in the fullness of all that God brings once he receives that new birth following the death and resurrection of Christ. He will understand the significance of Jesus' miracles that he brings and embodies God's life. Once the Spirit reorients him to being a child of God with a new family, a new identity, a new set of commitments. And this explains why every clergy has experienced this countless times. It's been true for me here. And that is, there are people who you hand them the Bible, they can't find the Old Testament or the New Testament or anything in between. And yet, their life is illuminated by an incredible inner light of wisdom and love, which is breathtaking. You know these people. I wish it were the other way. I wish, you know, the more degrees you got, the closer you get to God. But Jesus, when he calls his disciples, doesn't go to the seminary. He goes to the lake. What such a person has over many educated people is the power to practice their imagination, to use their imagination in service of the gospel. And that's why I'm going to read you in a second verse 6 of that great old hymn, because it offers us a chance to use our imaginations to see what is real, because what we often think that it's not real. So we have to use our imagination to make it real to our minds. We know memory can be a powerful and good thing and a powerful and bad thing. Imagination can be a bad thing. Some of you, if you're like me, if you're a 6 on the Enneagram, your imagination is always thinking about the terrible things that are going to happen next. Some of you are 6s, and you know that. It just pops in your mind. And our imaginations can then flesh that out about how bad that thing's really going to be. But the imagination can also be used to shape the gospel in us. So as I read this, I encourage you to turn into your own imagination, into your own heart, and understand that what I'm reading is not something for the future, but is true for you right now. Verse 6, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Amen.